Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Hi, we're the Mount Nebo Youth Ministry, and you are listening to Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Woo! Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Ralph called all the ministers, and everybody went to their pulpits on Sunday morning. But Saturday night, Martin and Ralph and Mr. Nixon said, and you called the new prep pastor, Dexter. He said, so Martin and Ralph were the two youngest pastors in town. And they went to all the dives, and the nightclubs, and all on Saturday night. Because, see, there were a lot of people who wouldn't hear the announcement at church on Sunday because they weren't going to be in church. So to make sure they covered everybody, they went to the what they call the juke joints then and told everybody, we are not riding the bus on Monday in protest of Rosa Parks' arrest. And when the buses rolled Monday, empty, and, of course, the police said, we will have police protection for any riders who want to ride, and the Negroes are there to stop them. There was nobody there to stop them. People decided, oh, wow, we're just not riding the buses.
All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WALK. How do you capsulize the life of a woman like this, 24 years old, standing there shoulder to shoulder with her husband as a partner? And again, now, I think some of us, you know, because I'm not old enough. I was 2 years old when Dr. King got killed. We don't even understand the context of the time. Now, if I can't grasp it, and one who loves history at 53, what it was like. Now, remember now, we didn't have no police looking out for us. Most of the time, they came to be a part of the crowd that was causing you some serious problem. That was, you know, we just had the moral imperative, the rightness of our position. And I'm moving. And that was not, I mean, the point that I'm making is it took extraordinary courage. Yeah. Extraordinary courage. But, you know, these women and men just say, we don't, there's no turning back. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Omalama, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You look good.
Thank you.
I'm glad you was able to make it. You've been in meetings and meetings, but you said, Derek, if you want me here, I'm coming.
That's I sure did, because you always put before the people information that, like you said, if you don't remember, then all you can do is put the information before the people so that they'll try to get some sense of who this woman was and what it was like to be raising a family.
At that time.
Yeah.
24 bomb going off at your house.
Yes.
I'm 53. If a bomb went off at my house tonight, guess what I'm going to do? Move.
Right. Quick.
Now, I get up here and talk all of this stuff. You talk all this tough talk. But when you add it up and weigh it up, you got to say, look, now, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to give a few speeches here and there. And I did not know that these people really wanted to kill us.
Yes.
I mean, that's what time it was.
Yes.
So let's go back to Reverend Taylor. We're going to let Reverend Taylor. Reverend Taylor, we're going to let you wrap up because I know you're doing a lot of important work out in them streets, reminding us to vote again. Today is election day in the state of Atlanta. But how will you remember? You're going to finish your story. Then I want you to ask, how should we remember from your perspective?
What I was about to say is Mrs. Abernathy was a person who worked in ministries behind the scenes to make sure things got done. Particularly when I came on board as a full-time staff member in 69, she did much to help to be a pillar of strength for her husband after the assassination of Dr. King, and he became president in terms of going places, helped to raise funds for the ongoing operation of the SCLC. Now I will remember Mrs. Abernathy from two perspectives. One, she was engaged in the actual operation of carrying on the movement of SCLC beside her husband, beginning with the Charleston Hospital strike in 1969, continuation of the Poor People's Campaign, which Dr. King had started in 1968, shortly before his death, from the movement perspective. And also, I can remember her as part of the actual operation of affordable public transit. You know, find many people who have been, in one sense, on the side of advocating for the disadvantaged and poor people, and on the management and the actual operation of affordable public transit, like a sister like and with MARTA. My point is, she for many years served on the MARTA board,
right?
And she did much to make sure, as much as she could, that poor people could ride MARTA as an affordable price.
Yeah. And so, again, Reverend Tate, thank you so much for sharing with us. And
okay. Thank you so very much, Derek. And you keep up the good work, and I will continue to listen to you, my brother. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This is one of my personal heroes. I love this dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Lewis. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Admitted like him. You know, we've lost a lot of them, Liz.
The stories.
Ralph Rorell, you know, John Bascom's. The names, just keep going on and on.
You know, that's somebody's PhD.
Yeah.
And I'm praying for somebody to get the message. These stories that have not been told, Lula Williams gave me some biographies, and it's a book of biographies of how many people that have been involved in the movement from Sandersville, Georgia, to Albany, Georgia, to all even up when they marched on the cathedral in New York, and people don't even know that my dad and Abernathy marched on the cathedral of, I believe it was St. Philip in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just in the South.
Yeah.
It was an international movement.
Yeah.
And somebody could say, I am going to capture these never-before-told stories, and then I'm going to show the relationship between them then and us now,
right,
and show how it has not changed and where it has not changed and why. Our young people need to study before they hit the streets. The strategy, because she was a strategician. She was a tactician.
Yeah. Yeah.
She understood how you do more than put feet in the street, but then you have a manifesto and it's written out, and you present it to the exact person it should go to, not somebody that said, well, that's not my job, I'll receive it, but it really belongs to this person over here. So you know exactly who to present it to, and without that information, you cannot make change.
Yeah.
So that's somebody's PhD. I hope you're listening. If you're looking for a thesis, there you got
there
one.
You go. You could sure do. All right, when we come back, we got another young lady I met as a freshman college student or either high school student. Brenda Davenport is on the phone. She's a staffer at SCLC. Another one I just love, Brenda to Life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk to her about her influence, Juanita Abernathy's influence on her life. Look, don't go into place. You can fire up the phone lines, too, until we run out of time, because we need to do it. And Mayor Campbell said something that just in my spirit, you know. We got roles and names of all of this stuff. And some Negroes were at a meeting the other day when they mentioned renaming one of the MARTA stations for her. And I didn't even think about it. Is a Negro going to buck?
They were against it.
I ain't going to even give no energy because I'll be asking for some names
for what a meeting was
and what a name. So I'm going to just leave that for we're going to remember this Queen Mother on Monday. But by Tuesday now, I'll be ready to roll up on them.
The only street that I know we have named after a woman, you can correct me, but it's John Dale Johnson.
Yeah, and that's
there's a little circle named after Zenona Clayton. It's not really a whole street.
But inside the interior of the city, that's a state highway that we did that for. Mm-hmm. But look, we'll talk about that. 448-922-2703 if you want to share with us on the life of Juanita Abernathy. We've been joined, of course, in the studio by Elizabeth Amalami, the daughter of Hosea Williams, and she's been around the movement. She was going to jail when she was about 8, 9 years old.
Yes,
she's been going since she's about 8 or 9 years old. And we're going to let her tell her story on the other side of the break. We'll be back on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Hold steady. We'll be right back with Too Much Truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And your host, Derek Bozeman, on News and Talk 1380 WALK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WALK. News and Talk 1380 WALK.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Monday, they didn't ride. They said, okay, we had a meeting Monday night, what they call a pep rally. Said, okay, we're going to archive Tuesday. Tuesday, they didn't ride. And they said, well, we're going to keep it going for a week. And it just kept going. Every Monday night, they had a mass meeting. And it went on for 381 days. And said, we're going to wait until we change the law. When the laws are changed, and we can ride anywhere we want to on the buses, and without any fear of being jailed or anything, then we'll stop. And we kept walking through the rain, through the snow, and it snowed in Montgomery. And through the sleet and the hail, we had a whole winter that was horrible. Do you know nobody rode those buses? And the white women who had maids, they had to come and pick them up.
There you go. If you don't see me on the front of the bus, you can't find me up there. Just come on up. To the front of the bus. I'll be sitting up there. Yeah, you don't see me on the back of the bus. You know, come on up to the front. Eyewitness History, let's go to Brenda Davenport. Brenda, how are you?
I am well. I am well. Thank you.
It is always a good day when I hear your voice.
Can I tell a quick something?
Uh-huh.
This is how far ahead of the times Brenda Davenport is. She is ahead of the times. Must have been 2 or 3 years ago, maybe it was even 5, Brenda. Brenda was taking youth to Venezuela.
Yeah.
She knew that this was something that was going to explode into on the international scene as a place of oppression and suffering. And so I just applaud her. She's also helped us when we wrote... her friend wrote a play about the girls that were bombed.
Four little
in
girls.
Four
I remember girls. That a few years back.
And Brenda helped direct that. I mean, she was always been ahead of her time.
Thank you. It feels so wonderful. But it's working with women like you and us working together that really impacted my life. And Mrs. Abernathy was another one of those that I've just been blessed. I mean, I count it a blessing. All the time that I have been able to work with and alongside and behind and beside, whatever they asked me to do, the lives of Mrs. Abernathy, Mrs. King, Rosa Parks. I mean, growing up, being able to touch the hem of their garment and listen to them and sit around the table. And what I loved about Mrs. Abernathy, she will set you straight in a minute.
Yes.
As the old folks say, she would give you correct change.
Mm-hmm. Yes, every time. And when she tells the stories, I mean, this is the piece that, And you're right, Liz. It's the stories of the ones who was really there. I mean, who were behind the scenes and in front of the scenes telling the story. And it wasn't just the brothers doing it, the ministers doing it. But when you listen to the stories that Mrs. Abernathy said, yeah. And kind of, you know, young and feisty and all of that, you just, I mean, I don't. It's a shame that we write that out of history and we don't tell the story and it's not appreciated at the level until the story is no longer there.
Yeah.
And it's really sad that we get to this point and we can do all this. And when she tells the story of why she wanted to be on the MARTA board, to really connect the
right.
dots. You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I didn't even catch that until Mayor Bill Campbell just said it. That just went over my head all of these years that she saw this as probably the tying of the bow on what was really the flashpoint for the movement.
Mm-hmm.
That now I done strategize and help to bring the Montgomery bus boycott into fruition. And what people don't realize, it wasn't just about the bus boycott, but it brought international news. Attention.
Yes. Yeah.
381 days, black people said, we will not be moved. We're not going to get on your bus. And it just broke open public accommodations. Now we got a black man running MARTA and done had black folks in charge of it. And she says to Bill in 2000, because I think that's the year she goes on the MARTA board, 99-2000, I would like to sit on the MARTA board. And because we didn't look at history through a right lens, we didn't even know
right
in her
hand.
Mind.
Right.
Now, that was the arc of the moral universe bending towards
wow.
justice for okay. her. Yeah.
And when my leader talked about my Reverend Taylor, you was just speaking to, that is his only mode of transportation now.
Yeah.
And it needs to keep being affordable yeah. and being able to be reached around. And that was the voice. She was that voice on
yeah,
that board
certainly.
To make sure that people like Reverend Taylor can make yeah. sure that he can afford it and that it's accessible. Because, you know, he once lived in Clayton County and couldn't get on the bus.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying it's really interesting how it comes full circle. When we were unveiling the stamp for Mrs. Rosa Parks on when the stamp came out, and I asked one of my friends, and you all know Sister Roberta Abdul-Salam, who
yep.
sat on the board,
mm-hmm.
I asked her if she would call Miss Abernathy for me. I don't even know why I did that, but I knew she knew Roberta, so when she called, she actually said, this is her story, that she said she called Ms. Abernathy and told her she was calling for me. Ms. Abernathy said, well, why Brenda not calling me herself? Don't be calling me.
Yep.
That's her.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
Yeah. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry, Ms. Abernathy. I would never do that again. You know my number. Don't be having nobody else call for you. I was like, you're right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They took certain things for a certain way.
Oh, you got to tell me. Your daddy gave me, the day he gave me correct, Jay. I was over there trying to bring some white
politician.
You look here, Uncle Tom, don't you? Your white man wanted to meet with me, you tell him. You know how your daddy do. He said, you tell the white boy that he can come over here. But no, you're going to come over here from. I said, I learned a lesson now.
Yeah, if you're too proud to take it.
No, right. Oh, absolutely.
You're not in the right place.
I'll tell the full story. Mark Taylor wanted to, who ran for lieutenant governor at that time.
Yes.
I want to meet with Uncle Jose. Then y'all bring this white big old white boy over here. He need to come over here himself. That's when he had the office on Hill Street for a while.
Yes.
In the house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
so we learned great lessons from
them.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Sisters, heard from the real women of not just the movement.
See, y'all about to make me do something that every time I get a group like y'all together, you know, because maybe it has to be somebody like me who I ain't got nothing in this.
Yes.
But I know how important y'all are.
No,
we just need that. Like Oprah had the legend ball.
That's
we need
right.
to sit y'all around the table.
Yes.
And I got a couple of people who can write books.
Yes.
This story got to be told.
Yes.
It's too rich.
It's too rich.
And all of them left saying, I got a book. Huh?
Cannot afford another one to take the story with them.
So I'm telling y'all now, when I call y'all, don't treat me like y'all don't know me.
Okay.
I'm going to just come have dinner around the table, and let's figure out how we're going to get this history out. about the Sisters of the Movement.
Because one picks the other's memory.
Absolutely.
And what I might not remember, yeah. She said, no, it was three. Oh, yeah, that's
well,
right.
Absolutely.
It was three. So you have to have the group.
Y'all can just sit down around
to get the
meal.
True story.
Ain't no, I need everybody's schedule to be clear. We'll go wherever y'all want to go, but we need to do this.
And there are so many women.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll help you with that.
Yeah.
There are so many women who are behind the scenes that we don't even know about.
Oh, yeah. But we clearly understand. I tell you, when you look at the Edmonds Pettus Bridge, it wasn't just Jose out there, it wasn't just John Lewis. You know, it was hundreds.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hundreds.
All those women waiting back at
and
the
I
church
tell
with
you,
sandwiches.
They wouldn't have had the courage, because even now, I ain't going to never tell Lee folk that.
Yes.
You don't have the courage to do it, but when you see that crowd behind you.
Yes.
That's
and
right.
When I say I'm marching the hill with gasoline draws on for black people, I mean that.
Yeah.
Because I had a crowd behind me. So if anything happened to me, then y'all keep pushing.
Going.
But by all means, take a stride toward freedom.
Keep going.
All keep right. going. That's
Thank
our message.
So
Brenda,
this.
What are you going to remember about Juanita Abernathy? What are you going to miss about her?
You know what I really, really remember and love? And that's something that if you look at those women, they didn't play.
No.
They were real. But they also taught us how to be women and ladies.
Yes.
And
classy.
They
very classy. Always dressed to the nines.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Abernathy always had her lipstick. You know that, Brenda.
Oh, but let me tell you about that's right. If one of those women told me one time we were
Brenda, hold on a second, because this is what see, this is why I did this show today. Because you're not going to get this out of no news report. You're not going to get this out of no, it ain't going to be no obituary. You can only get this from the women, the sister girls, the young ladies that she influenced, from the people who really, really know her. That's going to be a service on Monday. They ain't going to be able to do what we're able to do down here for three hours on this radio station. It's tell her story from the people who loved her, cared for her, and for the people who she loved and cared for. Don't go to place. We'll come back. Also have Nicole on the line. You can follow the phone lines, 404-892-2703. We'll be back. News and Talk, 1380 WALK.
Too much truth.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Hello, my name is Reverend Jesse Jackson. You're listening to Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
And they were happy when everything stopped because they didn't want to have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, go pick up the maid to come cook their children's breakfast and clean up the house. So they were living. They wanted something to happen because they didn't want to have to keep getting up running every morning to get the housekeeper. And finally, we got the law passed and we could sit anywhere we wanted to. And after 380 days, they were free. And do you know that freed America? People don't realize it. But the same kind of thing that was happening in Montgomery was happening all over the North. The blacks had a section. They just had more seats than we had in Montgomery. But in Chicago and Cleveland and New York, they were segregated and didn't even realize they were segregated.
All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WALK. We remember the life of Juanita Abernathy. She will be, the funeral is going to take place on this Monday. And apparently it's set for Friendship Baptist Church. We'll let you know as we know. We're reaching forward to the family as well. Brenda, we have Brenda Davenport. Brenda, wrap it up for us. What are you going to remember about
this kind of woman? That's right. The feistiness of her, the classiness of her. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to remember how she, as you say, too much truth.
Yeah.
She wanted us to know the truth. Yeah. And if at any time you didn't tell the truth on a story, she will let you know it wasn't true. No, that was not what happened. This is what happened.
Yeah, she was kind of a historian and a fact checker for you.
Yes. Oh, it was a blessing. And that's what I remember. And that's what I really try to do that, tell the real story.
Yeah.
And you know what else? And she listened to us. Yeah. And that's what I think was important. When we talked, she listened. And that
doesn't happen all the time, they say. But it was just a blessing to have her in my life or me be a part of her life at any level. And so I will always remember Miss Abernathy for what she said, what she did, how she dressed, how she looked, yes, and how she encouraged us as young ladies to be our best and don't take anything from anybody because you don't have to.
Don't take no wood nickels.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Brenda Davenport.
Thank you, Terry.
Now, you told me you're going to come out. You still going to come out to Real Women Read?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
On Friday. Now, you know I'm going to hug you until you run out of air because I ain't seen you in so many years. Yeah. I love you, sis. You've been such a part of the fabric of my life as an organizer. And Liz was just telling us you done had a son over in Venezuela doing the uprising.
You know,
Lord
I had the boy over there doing the uprising. Liz said, hold on, what my boy at?
It was a blessing having him with us because he don't take no stuff. I was just
telling her, I think my first trip to Selma was probably my freshman year at Morris Brown, actually down to the celebration. Wow. I remember it vividly. We went down there.
That's right. I've been on that road taking us. Gotta get that.
Taking people from around and from Selma to Venezuela to all of these places. Brenda, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have
all
a
right.
good one.
Okay. Bye. All right. Let's go to our phone. Let's go to Nicole in ATL. Nicole, how are you?
Hey, Derek. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I wanted to say, just a suggestion. I've thought it out through my mind. I've written it out, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can simply just do a podcast with them. Then it lives on forever for real.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's free. You can have this conversation like you're doing now. You can call it Women of the Movement. I have another name, too, but I'll text it to you because I don't want to say it because that's so good. Somebody may try to steal it. And you could just make it a series. It doesn't have to keep going on. It could just be like a 10-episode podcast or something. It's cheap. It's free. And just let them get together and talk. And then nobody has to, definitely, you can definitely do a book. But I think a podcast would be really easy.
Absolutely.
Something where they could just be themselves and talk freely. And even when you mentioned Jose Williams, then they could curse because you can't mention Jose Williams.
I'm going to need to cuss a little bit.
You got to say Uncle Tom three times.
Right. And I'll tell you what he really told me in length about
exactly.
it. I ain't going to do it here. You had it.
Exactly. And that's what really needs to happen is have a real and true conversation.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to say, listen to just thinking about Bill Campbell and how he has been written out of history.
Yeah.
And how they're continuously trying to write people out of history. Even at the airport, his picture isn't up. His name isn't mentioned.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Because we mentioned presidents who owned slaves and beat women and raped women and everything. They're mentioned. But the fact that this man is not mentioned in Atlanta history and only got convicted of one, which was a misdemeanor.
Not reporting gamblers on taxes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not worth not being mentioned. And he needs to write a book, Derek, or do a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
When Rashad sat down with him for the leadership talk, I was like, why does he not have a book? Because he knows deep history. He knows how stuff came about.
Right.
Like, he needs to do that. He needs to do something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just was listening to talk about that street or whatever, and just how they're just trying to rewrite history.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't exist. And I thought about it with his name being mentioned. It's just not right, and something needs to be done about that. But I want to thank you for taking my call, and I'm enjoying the conversation.
Thank you so much for calling, and you're absolutely right. People don't realize. See, they only do that to people who really love black people.
Mm-hmm.
And had the courage enough. But if y'all understood his history, this is a kid whose parents was the NAACP in Durham. His mama was secretary. Daddy was a big activist. And he integrated, just like they did, he integrated his elementary school.
Wow.
He was the first black to go. His brother, Ralph, he rest in peace, statewide office. I mean, that name was so strong.
Mm-hmm.
He was a statewide auditor. Elected to office, and so you're right. When white folks say they don't like you, then that's the sad thing about the history of Atlanta. When a couple white folks and these Negroes say, "Well, we don't like them," then they'll just, as you said, but somebody will have the courage that one day. And I tell people, Bill Campbell was my friend then.
Mm-hmm.
He's my friend through his trial, and people don't realize I testified in his trial on his behalf. Because that was my friend.
Yes.
And my mayor. And I supported him. And I don't give a damn who don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to choose for me. who my friends are.
Or who your leader is.
Or who my leader is.
That's right.
Love Jose Williams. And people didn't realize the reason I know so much, because I would go drive up, Liz, yes. when the Kirkwood off, I sit over there one day with your dad for about 7 hours, 7 to 8 hours straight. And he did not break conversation with me.
Wow.
And there are things he told me that I had to go back to research to find it to be exact. The thing that was unbelievable to me is he had the uncanny ability to remember dates and places and people.
Yes.
And if you sit that long enough with him, he would give up jewels. As I said, we were talking between that conversation I had with your dad, I'll take to the grave.
Yes.
Because he named the people.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
he named the people and the places. And I went back, did the research. I said, he's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
About everything he said. It's true.
And very prophetic.
Very prophetic. Look, we got to take a break. I see CJ ringing his hand. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation. 448-922-2703. Look, fob the phone lines. You got a Ms. Abernathy story, as we remember, with these two great ladies in the studio. We'll be back on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Too much truth.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WALK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
What up, y'all? My name is Q Parker from 112, and check it out. From 4 to 7 p.m., I'm tuned in to Too Much Truth with my man, Derek Bozeman, right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Keep it right here.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Until the law changed everything, and they realized, that freed us too. And then they had hotel accommodations, public accommodations, period. So they realized that you can't keep us out of the hotels. Everything changed. And it started with Montgomery, Alabama. And that's why I say Montgomery saved America from herself.
Not into an aria. You couldn't. All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WALK. See, the stuff y'all miss in between.
You know what I'm saying?
The conversation. Cinema Baldwin.
Yes.
Long time with the family.
Yes, you know, I just thought about something that Mrs. Abernathy told me when you were asking me about their relationship.
Yeah.
She said, I never wanted to marry a minister. But Reverend had another idea, as we can clearly see.
Right.
She was adamant that she said she never wanted to marry a minister, and she did. We had the opportunity, we meaning the NAACP at Clayton County.
To honor her a
yes,
couple years ago. Was
yes.
it last
well,
year?
It was this year. It was just
I
this
remember.
Year.
Oh.
And we awarded her with the Amanda Davis and Still I Rise Award, which we had just started last year. Anyway, when she came up, well, I was told that, well, Mom's not going to speak. And I said, okay, that's okay. We just want her and we want you know, to share with her. Well, Kwame and Michael Langford came up on the stage to receive the award for her.
Yes.
And so she said, I can speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up and she gave us a history lesson that evening that I will never forget. Mm-hmm. And we have recorded.
All right,
and then she took
sure
lots
to
of
us.
Pictures
yes.
with the children.
Yeah.
All of the children. She, you know, she took lots of pictures with them. But
Liz, I mean, you're of that generation. I mean, your dad was right there contemporary to Ralph and to Martin. People don't realize that Ralph called Martin to Montgomery and had him. Because Ralph was, Ralph David Abernathy was a bad motor schooler
he
himself.
He sure was.
He was
in and of himself.
Yes, he was.
He was in Montgomery. He was the dude. He was that dude.
Yes. Yes.
And called this 26-year-old preacher from Atlanta after he had gone through, got his PhD and everything, called him to come down there because they felt that they needed, you know, somebody who maybe wasn't so tied to the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
They knew they were about to get into some serious, as John Lewis called, good trouble. But it was not going to be easy.
Yes.
Did your dad talk about the early days of what that was like?
Well, you know, Martin Luther King hired my dad from Savannah in 1964.
Right.
And so while they were doing what they were doing over here, he was over here in Chatham County in Savannah. He was actually a man. Martin Luther King said he was the man most responsible for integration in the Southeast because of his work with Chatham County Crusade for Voters. And he found him and he hired him and he brought him to Atlanta.
Right.
Now, these first ladies of these men, my mother's name was Juanita also, would very often talk to each other because it was hard to tell who you could trust. And I can remember Juanita Abernathy and my mother talking on the phone late into the night, even whispering in their own homes, not knowing if their phones were bugged or anything. Right. And what I saw was that women in the movement ran the movement while the men were out front. But what it taught me was that there's a strength you can find that you can't find in no other place but when you're suffering.
Yeah.
And so they had to lose their husbands. They had to fear for their children's lives. They never had the money to do. But, you know, my daddy had his way.
Yeah.
He'd go out on Friday and come back on Monday, you know, and stuff was taken care of. But it taught me that when you are the wife of a man who's a very iconic person, you have to be selfless. And that's what I remember about Juanita Abernathy, was that not only would she tell you the truth, because she knew the truth. And, for example, I was on some panel at the King Center that Bernice had invited me to, and feeling very awkward, as I always do, sitting up there with these people. And Miss Abernathy said, "Well, why are you sitting up there? You was too young. You wasn't even there when we was in Birmingham."
Right.
I said, "No, ma'am, I wasn't in Birmingham. I don't know why I'm sitting up here. I was in Savannah."
Right.
You know, so if you couldn't take it, if you couldn't take the truth, if you couldn't take being told you can't be late, you just sit there till we come back and get you. Tyrone Brooks is still doing Morris Ford Bridge because that was the last assignment that he got. And so he's still doing it 20 years later. Mm-hmm. So it was a different mindset, a different mentality, a different culture that said, you do as you are told, you don't ask any questions, and you don't tell any secrets.
Yeah. I often talk about your mom. Because people need to know about these women. But your mom was pretty fierce herself.
Oh, yeah.
A partner in life and love to Uncle Jose, as we affectionately call him.
Yeah.
And a bad sister. When he got through being the state representative, pass it on to, here comes your mama.
She became the state. Hated politics.
Hated politics.
Never
she
wanted
said,
to
look
run
here,
for office.
Go on over there, Juanita, Terry, and you go ahead and Terry, you're going to be the state representative.
Yeah.
People didn't realize she was in elected office.
Yep, down there for years.
Yeah.
And in Savannah, she was the first black woman elected to public office since Reconstruction.
And people don't realize your family have a big they have a big presence in Savannah.
Yes, and what my brother Andre is there now.
Yeah. Wow.
But that's where I grew up off and on. That's where I went to jail starting at 8 years old, being held my mama's hand, walking in the paddy wagon, walking into the jail cell, looking out of the jail cell thinking, oh, this is really fun, passing around bologna sandwiches and trying to feed everybody.
Yeah.
I had no idea that I was participating in the middle of a war.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, this young movement today needs to just stop and restructure and go back and study the strategies and the tactics so that they can be more successful.
Over the weekend.
And they need to know also, you ain't got to be 30 to wait till you get involved in some cause. These people were 19, 20, 21, 22 years old and leading movements in cities across the South.
This past weekend, was the anniversary of the bombing of the 16th Street Church.
Yeah.
Four little girls was bombed and September 15th. And it's almost like we remember the terror attack, but we remember that too.
God.
So a lot of history. Look, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to David. 404-892-2703, 404-892-2703. Fire up the phone lines. A lot of history been shared. And when we come back, Juanita was a daughter of the South. She was from Alabama. Coretta from Alabama. All of these women come off.
She was a chef.
There you go.
Her cooking, we would always want to eat at her house.
We want you to tell us about what were some of her favorite dishes, as well as Cinnamon Balm.
Yeah,
what did you like off her table, Cinnamon?
Her gumbo.
All right, don't tell it yet. We got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Juanita Abernathy, the woman, the mother of four children. And I'll share with you my last kind of real interaction with her as well. 404-892-2703. Don't go anywhere. Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WALK. News and Talk 1380 WALK. Derek Bozeman.
This is Derek Bozeman with Too Much Truth. Every day between 4 and 7 p.m., listen to Too Much Truth. Guaranteed to wake you up, shake you up, and keep you informed. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Hey, what you know about that? What you know about that? What you know about that?
Too Much Truth.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
You know, people have to understand that women stood tall during the movement. And they were, most of us were unknown. Got no credit for what we did, but we supported our husband and supported the entire movement. Had not it been for the women and young people, there would not have been a movement.
Yeah, oh, that's what she said. 404-892-2703, 404-892-2703. Look, let's go to David on line three. David, welcome you with Elizabeth Amalami and Cinnamon Baldwin, as we remember Mrs. Abernathy. Any thoughts?
Thank you, Mr. Bozeman. Hello to all your guests.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say I really didn't realize that we were spoiled, I guess, growing up in Atlanta with so many people around us like Miss Abernathy.
Yep.
But I wanted to call and think and show how she supported young black business people, because I was frustrated wanting to quit business. And one day I got a call from her wanting me to come and look at her home and perhaps do some work.
Mm-hmm.
But before I can finish, a photographer came by, so she told me to just wait a while. And then it was the first time I've seen a photographer kiss someone in the backyard, take different pictures, put some on the inside. I was very amazed. So I want to speak to the fact that she was very fashionable, like everyone said.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that, now it was the first time that I said, I better keep this check up when I get it, because I want to be able to show my son that I did business with people. I didn't have a son then, but I just said I want to be able to show and document that, wow, I did business with people like her, and that means I can do business with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it just gave me a bunch of confidence. I love you women and everything you all did for the movement. I just want to thank you all for supporting us and to show that they did support normal business people in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I'm just very grateful for it, and thank you for giving me a chance to put that out.
Thank you, David. It's always good to hear from you. Just ordinary people.
Yes. You know, I think about, you know, her work with the Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority.
Yeah.
Now, the Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority, it all links back to the same thing, is the arm of Grady that makes sure that nonprofits get access, and they work a lot with nonprofits, and they work for the betterment of Grady Hospital. It all, her life, her whole life links back to the same thing, freedom for the poor, freedom for the oppressed, freedom for the disenfranchised. But I truly hope that someone does a book on her life.
Yeah.
Because, and we're talking to you writers out there, because that work, her work with Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority was also just like her work in transportation, you know, just like her work in the movement, it becomes a lifestyle, the movement.
Yeah.
It's not something you go do and then you leave the meeting and go back home and watch something, you know, and think about something else. You think about it all the time. You wake up and it's right there in your face. You go to sleep thinking about it. All day long you think about it. What can I do better? How can I be better? Who can I help? Mm-hmm. And that's what I remember about her work with Grady Hospital.
Cinema, talk about Juanita Abernathy, the mother. She had four children, Wendland and Donzale.
Oh, yes.
And Kwame and Ralph III.
Right. And there was also a Ralph Jr. who passed before Ralph III. You know that. But she was remarkable as a mother. The fact that she could handle all of that at one time. Remember, as I started out talking about how she was such the first businesswoman that I had ever met in my life. And she was always empowering women. But as a mother, she has very strong daughters, Wendland and Donzale, and very achieved women, as well as Kwame and Ralph in their own rights, you know, achieved as well. So now I got to tell you, Reverend has something to do with that, too, especially when it came to Kwame, because Kwame was his responsibility, okay? I mean, Reverend, I used to have to pick Kwame up and take him to school and, you know, pick him up because he was I tell people that Kwame and Donzale have the spirit of their mom. No, that's wrong. No. Donzale and Ralph have the spirit of their mom.
Right.
Wendland and Kwame have the spirit of their dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, she was able to do all of those things.
Proud of her children.
Yes, very proud of her children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about how she said losing her son versus losing her husband. And her words to me was, I lost my husband and it hurt me, but it's nothing like losing my child.
Yes.
And she was very, very distraught behind Ralph's death.
Right. Yeah, and we work very closely. And as I was saying, I'll share with you now, Mike Langford, who just a gem of a human being.
Yes, he is.
Every Christmas for the last 28 years, I think it is now, Liz, 28 years, we on Christmas Eve, and he always reminds us. We started this with his brother Arthur, but we would, 28 years we've been giving fruit baskets. We go and sing Christmas carol to those who are sick and shut in.
Wow.
It really started as a ministry, so every year I look forward to it.
Okay. Yes.
And so this particular year we decided we're going to stop by Mrs. Abernathy. It was the year after little Ralph had passed. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, sometime we go off our beaten path. We go to public housing. We say we're going to take a basket to Mrs. Abernathy.
Mrs. A.
and I stood off, you know, because I'm this big dude, but I'm really, I knew what that meant because you've been through the service and all that. And she came out. You know, at first we thought Donzale was there. She was here visiting. Okay. She happened to be here. Uh-huh. And, you know, they live in Collier Heights. So we take all these young children and staff from volunteers from UYEC, and we proceed to sing, you know, we wish you a Merry Christmas and give her the basket. And she said exactly that. She said, you know, this means so much to me. You know, we just don't even know what little gestures like that mean.
Because
you can have your family, you can have all your friends, but still you have to sit there with all those memories. And she said, just to see the children. And I walked up to the upper part of the stage, just held her as she broke down. Mm. And then her daughter, Donzale, who is a opera singer extraordinaire. Wendland, that's right.
Donzale's an
Donzale,
actress.
Right, yes. Actress. Uh-huh. Wendland breaks out into a just, I can't know, I don't remember if it was Ave Maria or something. And it was so appropriate.
What a holy moment.
Oh, my God. It just made my whole Christmas time mean something. Because I saw what this woman, when you been a historian, one who stepped back from history, you see this woman has carried really the weight of America on her shoulders.
Yes, of course. Yes.
You know, even and as we said, her husband, when you look at it now, 64. I'm 53. I ain't finna ask y'all your age, right? So Ralph was still relatively young when he passed at 64.
Yes.
And to see how she's been instilled Magnolia, continue to serve in the community, continue to serve at MARTA, board, you know, the hospital board, all of the places that she just kept showing up. And it's almost as if we expected her to do that, right? But, you know, we all have our crosses to carry. She did it with a level of dignity. She did it with a level of strength. And there's no way, until they publish her age in the paper, I'm like, no, Ms. Abbott, I've been 89, 88, 89. It's like, no way.
And, you know,
I mean, we just take for granted. No,
she didn't have. Nobody would have called her out for going back to her house.
Right.
Which last time I was there, it's just like you just so many things to look at. It's like a museum. It really is, like you said.
Yeah.
And nobody would have faulted her for that.
Yeah.
You've been through it. You've done this.
You paid your price.
But she refused to stay still. She refused to stay seated.
And refused to stay quiet.
Yeah, and refused to stay quiet. Yeah. And that is something that is born in you from a very early age in the church, even though a lot of pastors didn't want Martin Luther King speaking in their church.
Certainly.
We know that from the letter Birmingham jail.
Yeah.
But she was raised to be who she was, and she was that until she left this earth.
A woman in full.
And her dad told her and her siblings, you will never work for white people. Mm-hmm. And she never did.
Yeah.
More importantly, she poured into so many women.
Yeah.
And so I know there are women out here who are listening.
Absolutely.
Who also have their story. Yeah. But I am Juanita.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah. I am. She said, speak up. Speak your word. Don't back off. You know, stand for the children. Those were her all of that was her thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I was able to have the blessing of being a part of her life.
All right, 404-892-2703. When we come back, we're going to talk to her baby boy. Kwame Abernathy is on the phone, and we're going to have him share with us what his mama means. I've been knowing Kwame for years, and so I know what this means for him. We didn't even ask the family to call in because sometimes it's just too tough, but we're glad that he's on the line. And we'll let him tell us about his mother, the service, anything else they want to share with us. As we remember this remarkable, remarkable lady. Remarkable lady.
Yes.
And we thank God for her life and her light. Juanita Abernathy. We'll be back. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Too Much Truth.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WALK. Talk 1380 WALK.
Too Much Truth.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
My husband would often take money from his pocket to help students pay their final fees. You know, when the tuition is paid and you've got library fees and some dining room fees that are left over, he would take money to pay those final fees so that students could graduate. He did that in Atlanta and in Montgomery because he valued education. He saw education as our only means to achieve in a segregated society.
All right, welcome back to News and Talk 1380 WALK. I want to thank all of the people who called in, Jesse Jackson and Reverend Fred Taylor and Brenda Davenport, Mayor Bill Campbell, and want to thank Elizabeth Ombalame for coming in. She's such a friend. I just learned so much from her. She don't know. I stalk her on Facebook, and I know she. Beautiful tribute to your husband, Famu.
42 years.
And so I saw that, and teaching us what black loves look like.
Yes.
And Cinnamon, who's been such a wonderful part of Clayton County NAACP, and just doing her thing at all right, taking the lessons that were given to you.
By Juanita.
Yes. And so thank you. We are joined on the phone, and, you know, we can all say we know what it's like. I don't. And we're just grateful to the Abernathy family. Kwame, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Can you all hear me clearly?
We can hear you very clearly. We have spent the balance of a couple of hours or so talking about your mother, and I know you know She influenced a lot in this town and a lot in this country and indeed this world. And we offer you the opportunity to share your own tribute of who Juanita Jones Abernathy was to you as a mother and to the movement.
Well, I would first say, one, I want to thank you all for taking the time to honor her, because that is what, one, how she raised us. And she often reminded us of what people didn't have to do for you, and always to thank people when they do for you. And thank you for continuing all of the freedom fighters there, Elizabeth, Cinnamon, and you, Derek, and your work. And of course, everyone that called in that had known my mother on this long road. Thank you for your work, and continuing that work is so extremely important.
Yeah.
You know, loss is common for everybody. We all experience it. And right now it is just our time. Tomorrow it could be yours.
Yep.
And we appreciate you all in sharing this moment with us and celebrating us right now. But my mother would want us to move forward and to never forget her words. She spoke her mind. Mm-hmm. Remember her spirit. She was the type of person that she had that it factor, literally that mm-hmm. it factor. Mm-hmm. And it was all exuded all over her,
mm-hmm.
like perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who met her has their own personal experience and memory. And I want us all to celebrate that and keep that memory in your heart and in your heart and your mind as we move forward to 2020 and the business that we must attend to at the voting polls mm-hmm. now, hence, and forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
My parents' work is just a part of the continuum of Black history. Civil rights movement, we say, started in 54 or 55 with Rosa Parks. Some think, Brown versus Board of Education in 54. But in my opinion, it began well before that. Everybody mm-hmm. has a part on mm-hmm. that timeline. Frederick mm-hmm. Douglass, mm-hmm. Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Ida B. Wells, Walter B. White, Walter White, W.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, Thurgood Marshall, Charles Hamilton Houston. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
It did not begin and end with Ralph David Abernathy and Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
And it will not end with Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And we must continue our work.
Yes.
We have so far to go. We've come so far, and we have so far to go. A mother dreamt that she was in a wheelchair, and we were marching. And she said she saw all of the children of the movement, these boys and girls that she knew, whose parents she knew.
Right.
And she raised, they called her Aunt Juanita. And she said, "Why are we marching?" And she took her dream to mean that we were history would repeat itself for us.
Mm.
This was soon after my father's been gone nearly 30 years.
Right.
And that was during that time period. So, you know, history does repeat itself. You know, those bell-bottom jeans did come back, the platform shoes. Those platform shoes came back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I never thought it would, but they have. History will repeat itself, and we must be vigilant about our business as a people,
mm-hmm.
plain and simple. That is mm-hmm. That's what we must remember. Yeah. That's what she would want us to. That's her spirit.
Yeah. On a lighter note now, everybody from Jesse Jackson to Cinnamon to Liz said the one thing that Ms. Abernathy had Boy, she could make some frying pans work. Dr. King even talked about your mama's cooking. Talk about what was your favorite meal? Your mother obviously knew how to work her way around the kitchen. What was your favorite meal? What was the thing as a little boy you would ask your mama to make sure get on the Sunday table, on the table at any point?
Well, you know, my mother made everything. She was great at cooking just about everything.
Anything that showed up.
Oh my goodness! And the crazy thing is that she started out, she didn't know how to cook when she got married, mm-hmm. and she found these in A&P. They used to have these recipe books in the aisles that would come out of the aisles, and you would pick them up. And she picked them up and say, you know, how to roast a chicken, how to do this, how to do that.
Right.
And because of the movement, she was forced to be a hostess.
That's right.
Because everything took place
in
there
the homes.
At our house. Yeah. And she was a night owl, and it took place late at night with Daddy and Uncle Martin stayed up. You know, the meeting would be at one time, and then Daddy and Uncle Martin would stay up after everybody would leave and make the decision. So she would, you know, she had to be a hostess.
Yeah.
And she learned on the fly. She was a master.
Yeah.
I would say a master short order chef. Her culinary skills were quite exceptional, and her culinary vocabulary was large.
Yeah.
But I can't call her short order, but she was an untrained chef.
Yeah. What do you?
But her dish, Derek. Yeah. Her dish was gumbo.
Yes. That's what Simon tested that was a gumbo.
And she made gumbo on the night that Barack Obama was elected president. Wow.
Well,
2008.
Ain't nothing wrong. Awesome. Only one problem. You didn't invite me over for gumbo, man. You know what I'm saying? You didn't invite me over, brother. So
Dee,
when I
I'm
see
sorry,
you, I had
Dee.
To put that bad hug on you.
Look, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry.
I got
sorry.
You.
A mistake of the head and not the heart.
Finally, brother, as we close this broadcast out, and we're going to be talking about your mother on the service on Monday, what is the one thing that either your mother shared with you or you just gleaned from her life that you would want everybody to know about her that they may not know?
Wow. And as we move forward in this age, it was on her mind. She wanted us to represent as a race, represent ourselves with class and dignity.
Yeah. And that is who she was. Always dressed. She was always had. Always looked like she was about her father's business. Always looked like she was seriously engaged, and you never caught her slipping.
That's right.
Brother, we love you, man. We wrap our arms around you and the family. Know that we love you all, man, and nothing will change that. And thank you for sharing your mother with us. And we know her story, and we appreciate her, all right?
It was an honor, really an honor, really an honor. And I even a greater pleasure to know that you all get it.
We get it.
Really,
we get it.
We really appreciate that.
Trust me, I shared that night. I don't even know if you were there or not. I think you were the night we came out for Christmas. I had to go to my car. It took me a minute to just pull myself together because at that moment, I really realized who I was hugging and who she was. Not to me, but to the world. And so it meant so much to me to just have that moment with you and your family. So thank you, brother. We'll see you on Monday.
Thank you. God bless you all. God bless you all. And continue to pray for our family and pray for this world.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
Good night.
Thank you.
How more appropriately could Liz, any final thoughts about Auntie Juanita?
The Juanitas of today.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid. Do not hold back
speak your truth, because you stand on the shoulders of women like Juanita Abernathy,
yeah,
who deserve to know that you are now who she was.
Yeah. Cinema Baldwin, you served with this family a long time. Sister, final thoughts as we wrap it up.
I just echo what Elizabeth said, and I just want to say, what a woman, what a woman, what a mighty good woman she was.
Thank you, family. We'll continue this tribute because guess what? She deserves this and so much more. As we remember the life of Juanita Abernathy, she will be laid to rest on Monday. And what no doubt will be a service fitting of who she is and was and continue to be in our life, in our world. Y'all have a beautiful day. We get a chance to do it all over again tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Too much truth.
Thank you for all that you do. I thank you for speaking out and speaking up against injustice in this nation. And God has anointed you to come.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.